This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got them right where we want them.
Primetime on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. Make The Fan your favorite station and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hey! And a good Friday to you, sir.
You too. Let's check the farts, okay? You ready?
Yeah, what do we got?
Well, let's check. No.
No.
No. So my prediction...
Hello?
Well, Mike hit that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that was mine.
Yeah, I just turned you on. I didn't know it was working.
Oh, wait, let's try it again.
What's happening?
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Hello?
There's like a 3-second delay, but...
Yeah,
Well, I'm dealing with the same delay.
Yeah, supposedly, so. The timing's going to be off. Just FYI.
And the shorter the drop, the less likely it is to play because it's being, it's like, it no longer is it on your computer. It's now being sent somewhere else.
All right. Well, anyway, this is a step in the right direction.
This is like one of those,
excuse me.
This is like one of those movies where we don't want the calls traced. So we have to bounce it off of 7 satellites.
That's right. Trying to be incognito here.
Our farts go through like 4 different servers before they get played.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a delay there.
Yeah, just a scooch.
Because timing is... You know, yeah, no one cares about timing
no,
in radio.
It's going to be a little
but
off.
Hey, this is good. This is better than yesterday. So if you don't know, if you haven't been following our last couple of days, we're getting a computer upgrade. And as you know, in the world of technology, when you upgrade anything,
yes,
it always is worse.
I don't understand that. It confuses and frightens me. Is there anything that just gets better on its own? It's like being a Catholic. You can't have anything nice. There's a price tag that goes along with it. Why can't things just be nice? Why can't they just get better?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It doesn't work that way.
It never does.
It's like, hey, this is going to get better for you, but it's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
And maybe, then eventually it creeps back up and is better.
Maybe these are just the kinks, you know?
I suppose, but there's always
But
kinks.
I've heard that before, and it's, you know, a lot of big talk, so.
Well, they do this in like everything. It's like when you, like the first time they put out a car, you know, there's always like that, well, you know, I know everyone's excited about it, but you might want to wait for that next year and kind of let them work out the bugs a little bit.
Right. Hey, you know what's crazy too?
Well, lots of things are crazy, but I don't know specifically what it is you're talking about.
Well, AJ, did you hear AJ from AJ and Dusty fame?
I heard a little bit when I was driving in today. It was AJ and Patrick.
Yeah. Dusty's gone again. He's never on his own show.
Rehab or what?
Whoa.
Do we know?
Rehab? What? Like drugs?
Well, no. Maybe he hurt an ankle. And
are you breaking
why
news?
Why are you assuming that it's drugs? There you go. Jumping to conclusions. I didn't. I just was asking. I don't know where he's at. Do you?
No.
Well?
Maybe at the Southern Oregon game?
Wait. Are they playing tonight?
I don't know. Doesn't he go on like a lot of bro-y golf trips?
He goes to
Southern Oregon.
He goes to one, but I think that's in the off season. I've been invited down to it, but I'm always afraid to go because I might die. There's one the Southern Oregon like the football golf tournament where they invite all the alum back there.
Yeah,
some of the stories in which he has regaled me with over the years, it's quite frightening.
Well, there are animals down there.
Yes.
So the two schools, not being from the Northwest, I didn't know this. But I think every state
that's
has this.
And the bug on both of them, you know?
All right, so now it's just firing off on its own. Hold on, let's just...
Hey, apparently we needed more Dave Barr too. I think he's out elk hunting. So
let's just shut that off.
Go Dave.
What?
What was I telling you?
Not being from here, the two schools.
God, what? Dang it!
God bless America.
Hey, Mike, can you move your mouse, fella?
Yeah, we're randomly,
we got some misfires.
We're just getting Dave here.
Some different things.
A lot of Dave.
Yeah. Anyway,
back to your point of
what was my point?
Yeah, you not being from the area, something about schools.
Yeah, so I think every state or region has this, where you have just the schools where everybody from that school is an animal, like a party animal.
Yeah.
And the two I've learned here, and I may be wrong about this, since you guys are from here, mm-hmm. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, it seems like everybody I know from these two schools is not only great, like cool, super cool, mm-hmm. but also a blast to hang out with. Southern Oregon.
Definitely.
And Washington State.
Yeah, I do feel like those two have the best reputation for, you know, producing that sort of fellow. Now, my brother went to Washington State, so he's a bit of an outlier, but we've talked about this. He tries to bury his past, but it's there.
He's an animal.
I've seen the photos. I've heard the stories.
But Mormons don't count. Like, you know, he's Mormon now.
Yeah, but he was then, too. See,
but he was in college.
He refuses to talk about it.
Well, because he's embarrassed.
Well,
and he's a part of the church.
Embrace your past.
When you're, come on, I think all bets are off. Even when you're Mormon, if you're in college, especially if you're not at BYU, you're in college and you're practicing Mormon, I think it's okay to just be a college kid for 4 years.
I would certainly hope so.
Or five.
It's like that show Breaking Amish where they leave the farm and then they go out and do a bunch of like hookers and blow and like get a tattoo and like end up like shooting guns. And then they go back
and then they're just Amish again.
And they go back and churn butter. How do you do that, by the way?
Do what? Like, churn butter?
Well, after you've gone and seen, like, I've watched that show and I don't know how like real it is, but
I don't know what show you're talking about.
There's a show called like Breaking Amish or something.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's the actual
like
title.
Breaking Bad. Do they make drugs?
Yeah. Some of them are pretty like they go off the reservation, man. And I guess like before you commit to being Amish, and I don't know if this is the thing with like church people too, but before you commit to being full Amish, you go like on a sabbatical and like anything goes. You can do whatever you want. And then
that's cool.
And then you like get to make the choice of whether you want to go back and again, churn butter and like plow something or continue to plow something off the reservation or whatever they call the, you know, the farms or whatnot. And I kind of feel like that should be college. I feel like it should be a big giant no counties.
Yeah, right. So we give him a pass for that.
Yeah.
Because he's a very devout Mormon.
He is.
And so just the fact that he wasn't during the college years, mm-hmm. I can't blame. He's human.
Exactly.
Can't blame him for that.
I still call him out, though, because he tries to deny it and bury that past.
He doesn't own it.
Yes, he doesn't own it.
So you got to own it.
And I've heard the stories. I've seen the photographs.
What photographs?
Oh, there's photographs.
Of what?
Of John. In
doing what?
Various states of inebriation.
Is he bonging beers, bro?
Oh, I'm sure there was.
Remember that beer bong?
Hi, boy. Can I tell you, I've never shotgunned a beer.
Okay.
And I've never used a beer bong.
Yeah.
I never saw the point.
You're not missing a thing.
No, I don't need drinking games. Just give me my beverage.
Right.
I didn't like that in college.
It's all very bro-y.
It never made sense to me, and certainly doesn't make sense now. If I go to a party and you're playing drinking games, I'm like, what? Just go over there.
Do you play beer pong?
No.
You ever played beer pong?
I have, and I find it insulting. Why? I don't get it.
What do you mean insulting?
Well, like,
beer
again.
Beer pong is a lot of fun.
Why? No, it's not. It really isn't.
It's a ton of fun. It's a game.
Like
it's competitive.
I'm not.
It's not really about the drinking.
I like it,
it's
not. That's right.
Yeah, it's just about the competition.
The key is we need to just say it's not a drinking. You just drink while you play beer pong.
Yes, that's fine.
Because it being called a drinking game is kind of a, I don't know. I feel like that's like a, if I were beer pong, I would be offended by that. It's like I'm more than a drinking game, guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's just an activity. It's something fun to do. Like the beanbag throwy thing. What do you
cornhole?
Call it? Yeah, cornhole.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I guess my whole thing is I just like you fill up these little tiny sips of beer and it's like, oh no, I have to give me beer. I don't need.
Yeah, but it's not about that. I think it's less about that. It's more about just drink while you're playing beer pong and try to win.
Then that.
Try to beat the, you know.
Then that, I suppose. I've just never understood the needing an excuse to.
It's like a board game.
To drink.
Like, do you need board games to drink? Because I got news for you. I'm playing beer pong or a board game, I'm drinking.
You should be.
Right?
Absolutely.
So
try getting through a game of Monopoly sober. Good luck with that. Thing goes on forever.
Exactly. So AJ of AJ and Dusty fame.
I don't even know how we got on this.
She broke early.
She broke early.
Yeah. She left the show early. She just was like, I'm done. I'm out. We are on. We're like 2 or 3 minutes ahead of schedule.
Do we know why?
Well, she had to go.
Oh, okay.
She's leaving.
By the way, reports are in saying that Dusty could be.
No more hot takes.
Dusty's coaching high school football.
Yeah, he's a coach now.
He's a coach.
He always has his coaching gear on.
Yes, and he bolts right out of here because he's got to go like run routes or something with kids. So he left AJ on her own, and then AJ decided enough of this.
Oh, so he was on the show prior. He just had to leave early.
That I don't know.
I love how that show just comes and goes as it pleases.
When I was driving in today, I flipped over, as I always do.
Yeah.
And
flipped over from what? You should always be on the fan.
Well,
you're a P1.
I flipped over getting in my car. I'm like, I left.
You mean you flipped it on because it's always on.
Yes.
In your car, it's always on.
Oh.
Me too.
Always. And I heard AJ, and then I was like, after like 5 minutes, I was like, hey.
Where's Dusty?
I'm hearing Patrick.
Dusty's awful quiet.
Yeah. All of a sudden, no Dusty. So all I know is about 1:30, Dusty, not on the program.
Yeah.
3 o'clock, still not on the program. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, somebody said he's coaching football. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Good. Is he a good coach, you think? I tell you what, if you added up, if you took all the fan personalities.
He seems very coachy.
I think he would be a good coach. Like
I think so.
Because he's not a yeller and screamer and a-hole, you know?
No.
Like, I would respond to Dusty coaching me up.
Yeah.
You know,
you want Dusty to coach you
on a route. Yeah.
you want to learn to button hook. Do you
teach me the routes, Dusty?
Run the route tree.
And I want you to show me. I'm visual.
Rob wants the Dusty skinny post. That's what he wants.
So what was I saying? Dusty.
Well, yeah.
Of all the fan personalities.
Yeah.
And there are many. Don't you think Dusty loves football more than anyone here?
Yes.
Like he loves.
I would say so.
The game of football. He grew up a coach's kid.
Yep. And he played at two very small football programs and loved it. And I'm here to tell you, if you find someone that played at a smaller level, NAIA or Montana Tech, wherever he went first, whatever the hell division that is, if you go there and you embrace small-time football, you love it because there's no real good part to it other than just football. Like, it's not a real enjoyable experience. So like for me, and that, if someone was like, hey, after high school, do you want to go play football at Montana Tech? I would have been like, no, I don't. And that would have been the end of it.
I would have played.
Would you? Just out there grinding.
Yep.
But there's a ton of kids. And I see this all the time. There's a ton of kids that go play or they get like small, like partial scholarships to go play at these like way the hell away small-time schools, and they usually quit after a year because they realize that you're playing in front of no one. There's like 100 people in the stands. You're on some ungodly bus ride for 10 hours driving through Montana to get to your next game. Oh, by the way, you're getting your ass kicked every day because it's football, so you're hurt. You don't have any like nice equipment. It's just, it's not a, no one on campus cares. And you get people that just burn out, but the ones that stick around are the ones that truly love it. And Dusty loves football like a magnitude of 12 more than I do.
Yeah, so that's why I said I think if we had a truly love the game of football off here, I think it would be between him and Dirt.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, Dirt still longs for the days of high school football.
Right.
Yeah, he's.
Well, high school football is still around. I mean, he can go cover it if he likes.
No. He loves, like, Dirt references a lot of the high school quarterback days. He got a little bit of that in him.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have guys who care.
They do. Now, I will say this. I love watching football. I like covering football. I love gambling on football. There may not be someone at the fan that likes playing football less.
But loves it more
than me.
Yeah.
And I played, which is kind of a, and I don't know if there's a, you know, if there's a cause and effect thing there, but yeah,
right.
Like there's no way I haven't played a game since what? 2004, three, something like that.
Me neither.
I don't think there's ever been a time over the last, whatever, you know, going on 20 years that I've been like, hey, man, you know what I really want to do right now?
Football.
Wish I could put those pads on one more time. Like, Cam was that guy. I think if you could tell Cam that he could suit up one more time, I think he would do it.
Why do you talk about him like he's dead? He's not dead.
Why am I talking about him?
You said he was that guy. He still is that guy.
He still is that guy. Yeah.
He's the Huskies play-by-play guy.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, the Huskies color guy.
I think when he goes and does those games, he wishes that he could put on that helmet. And, like, if I were to watch a BYU game, I would be like, man, you know what's awesome? Me not having to play this, and I can sit in the stands and just watch.
I don't have the heart to text Cam about the Huskies.
Yeah, I don't.
I kind of want to poke that bear, but I'm not.
No.
It's too early.
Yeah, and you don't rub salt there. Just
no.
Let that go.
I'll just let that go.
Let that go. He seems happy. He's got a great new gig.
Great new gig.
Just let him be. And for Cam's sake, though, and his blood pressure, let's hope they beat Arkansas State.
Here's somebody who says, you want a great drinking game? In college, we used to play a game called Hi Bob, where we'd watch reruns of the Bob Newhart show. Yeah. And every time somebody said Hi Bob, you had to chug an 8-ounce glass of beer.
Well, there you go.
Did they say Hi Bob a lot in that show?
Yeah.
Because every time Bob walks into a room, he always walked in that front door. Yeah. Hi Bob.
Hi Bob. So that's kind of fun.
What a great show that was.
And they do that with like national title games or whatever. Every time like an announcer says something or whatever, you know.
Here's somebody who says, I'm going to generalize here, but my wife is from Jersey and she plays drinking games and is very good at them. I grew up on the West Coast and no such fascination and dedication. Yeah, it may be a regional thing too.
That could be it.
I tell you what, Meatball is out in Kansas in the Midwest.
They get after it.
They love their drinking games.
Hmm.
It was literally like 80% of the parties were drinking game based.
Yeah.
And like we had my friends in college had their own Pong table, and it was like everyone had an order of who was playing who, and winners would stay on the table. And then of course there was the beer bong, and people would go outside and shotgun, and there was all sorts of stuff going on.
Like I see it. Like I go out on the river a lot. I like being outside in the summer, and I see the bros, right? And they take their crappy beer or whatever, slam it on the head, you know, and then, you know, they go to chug it and they get like one sip and the rest just goes everywhere. And I sit there and I watch that and I'm like, that just to me, and it's not that I'm old. I did this when I was 20. I'm like, that just seems like the dumbest thing in the world. You're just wasting beer.
Well, shotgunning it does not mean slamming it on your head. Shotgunning means popping open a hole and then opening it.
I understand.
You get like 85% of the beer that way.
I've never once.
God prove you can drink, bro.
Right?
Let's go, bro.
What is that?
That's what that is.
That's what that is?
Well, yes.
Also, it gets you drunk faster.
Yeah, but I don't like that either.
No, I mean.
Well, you guys are older now. I'm older too. I wouldn't do it anymore.
I didn't do it back then.
And if I was going to, I certainly wouldn't be. Who gets beer drunk? If you're going to, if that's your whole goal, just break out the Jaeger and just get to it in the span of just 30.
You're just drinking whatever's available. Sometimes the beer was there, so you had a shotgun it.
I was always the guy at the college bar who wanted an actual drink made well.
Yeah.
Like, make me a nice drink. But no, it'd be just be like freaking.
Give me some aftershock.
Yeah, 75% vodka, bro. Yeah, I hooked you up. I kind of don't want that.
I can strip varnish off of a boat with this.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just have a nice cocktail, please?
I do the bird. I like the bird sugar. You don't you don't splash, but just drink it. Just drink.
You don't wear it.
Yeah, you don't wear it. You just have a beverage, man.
All right. You probably never butt-chugged then, huh?
No. No, I have not.
Bet Mike has.
No, I have
those
not.
Those butt-chugging parties out there in Jersey.
Like, I saw dudes, like, playing Edward 40 hands, and I'm like, what?
I've done that before.
What's that one? Well,
that's when you take a 40 and you tape it to both of your hands,
yeah.
And you have to finish them before you can remove them from your hands.
And it's just someone just getting violently ill on horrible malt liquor, right?
But I did it, bro.
Yeah. Here's, you know.
Good old St. Ides. That's the one that I would always put in my hand.
Sometimes
you think
cold
more
45.
With me, bro?
Here's
just did it.
Here's some Mad Dog Orange Jubilee. Yeah, let's just get 40 of it. Ah!
Am I in the club now, bro?
Ah!
I just drank 2 40s.
Well, you know,
do you like me?
You know what came out when I was a junior in college was Four Loko. The original Four Loko that killed people.
Exactly.
So we had that a lot, too.
Well, guys, we got to move on. There is your opening segment. There it is.
The delay. That delay is going to be interesting. You know?
Yeah. Well.
Also, funny enough, Patrick had no problem with any misclicks when the mouse wasn't being touched. So that's a new thing that happened for us.
Yeah, we had a couple Bet the Jetta and the Bug misfires right there. But, hey.
Bet the Jetta and the Bug on both of them, you know?
You know?
Dave.
But it's okay because we're, you know,
we
upgraded
on.
And that's right.
We press on.
You ain't going to derail this show. We got a big Stony Brook game to talk about.
You can't derail us, not with Stony Brook.
Nope.
Seawolves?
Let's start with college football. Yeah.
Can we go with a detailed breakdown of the Stony Brook defense and how Oregon's going to combat it?
Well, Joey Harrington's on today. Maybe he'll have some Stony Brook notes.
I would hope so.
And we'll set your DVR and we'll talk about, sports in the weekend that's coming up. So 318 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today, guys. And gals. By the way, hey, before I get to our poll question, can I tell you something?
Yes.
Can I tell you guys something?
Yeah.
AJ was in here. You know AJ of AJ and Dusty fame?
Yes.
And I was talking to her, and I don't know a lot about her yet. We're getting to know her here. Mm-hmm. But we cross paths every day, so we get to talking.
For about 45 seconds.
Yeah, it isn't long, but no. Sometimes that's all you want to talk to someone, right? Like, you can get a lot in 45 seconds.
I'm here to tell you I don't think she has any interest in talking to me for any stretch of time, let alone the 45 seconds.
Well, even if somebody doesn't have an interest in talking to me, they're going to because I ask questions.
Sure.
So I was asking her about her history of sports talk. I don't remember how we got on it, but I'm like, hey, do you listen to sports talk radio? And she's like, no, it's never been my thing because, until I got into this business, I've never really listened to it because I'm a woman. She goes, it's just like guys yelling. And I'm like, oh, never thought about it that way, but I can totally see that. And then we got to talking about how sports radio, generally speaking, sucks. Mm-hmm. And I agreed with her totally. It's like, it's awful.
This guy's yelling. You shut your face.
You shut up. I'm right.
I will gouge your
Who's
eye
winning?
Out
what
my
is
thumb,
occurring?
You son of a bitch.
Traditional sports, I mean, it sucks. There's a lot of, it's amazing how little personality is actually in sports talk radio, right?
Sure.
So then we got to talking about how that's kind of why we like to do things a little differently here. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, it's just different.
It's how it rolls.
And then I asked her about the Fabulous Sports Babe, and she thought I was kidding. I'm like, no. She goes, am I the first female? I said, this show, or she said, there's a moth in the studio. I'm like, oh, well, it's probably a dead fan host coming back and wanting to get on the air, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what moths are, right?
Sure.
So I was like, God, who died over the years? And she goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, this is a long history of hosts here at The Fan. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some of them are dead. And she was like, am I the first woman? And I said, well, yes, you are the first local woman. You are a pioneer. But then I just started talking about Fabulous Sports Babe, and she had no idea who the Fabulous Sports Babe was.
Really?
And she thought I was joking.
And as far as I know, I mean, at least on a national sort of basis, the Fabulous Sports Babe is legendary.
Yeah, she's just not, AJ is just not a big sports talker. She didn't even know about her. So I'm like, hey, you need to go, your homework this weekend, young lady.
Yeah.
You must go and look up Fabulous Sports Babe clip. Because she thought I was, sports babe, you know, like she's some hot. I'm like, no. She's like this rotund old sports talk host who was great at it.
Yes.
And long time ago, many years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, for all my youth growing up, I had no idea what the Fabulous Sports Babe looked like. This was before internet. You didn't care.
She was greatness.
Yes.
And
I want to say it was maybe a year or two ago that we were talking about this, and we looked it up. I think she's just retired in Florida.
Oh, Florida. Yeah, she was in Seattle.
Yeah, she's been bouncing around, but I don't think she's done radio on a regular basis for a couple of years, and I think if I remember correctly, she was just hanging out down in Florida.
Anyway, AJ's a pioneer.
Yes. Well, actually, no. You know what?
That's another woman?
That's not true.
Who was it?
It was Katie Brown. Katie Brown did a show.
Kate
Brown did a show on
Kate
the.
Brown? Oh, no. Katie Brown. Brown. Yeah. Kate Brown's the governor.
It wasn't Shutdown Brown.
Right.
Or Flip Flop Brown. No. She was an old.
That's true.
On a different station.
KAT.
But she was on with. I want to say it was Dwight, maybe?
No, she was on with Kenny Vance.
Was it Kenny Vance?
Yep, that's right.
So
show lasted a good 3 or 4 months.
It did not last very long, but she did do it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There was a full-time sports talk show with a woman in this market before her, but she was the first on The Fan.
Yes.
Because The Fan is the station of record.
And I do believe that she would be the first. At least, I mean, we've been here together, going on almost 20 years, and we've never had one. So I'm supposed you
Well, we've had some hots.
Yeah, we had
for
the
TV.
For the TV stuff.
Because, you know, when the cameras are on, you got to have the hots.
You got to have the hots. Like, Fight Club, you know, Savage, she would come on every now and then, but she didn't have a daily show. So AJ, near a pioneer. How about that?
Pretty close.
Yeah, like
pretty close.
You know, like maybe she didn't step on the moon first. You know, old Neil did it, but then she's like Buzz. You're right behind.
AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Website 1080thefan.com. Houses our poll question. Okay, which team is most on upset watch this weekend?
Okay.
Okay. You've got Washington against Arkansas State.
I took Arkansas State. I took Arkansas State in the points. I don't think Washington should be favored by 17 over anyone.
Well, they lost to Montana.
Well, they can't score. They scored 7 points against Montana.
UCLA against Fresno State.
Okay. And we saw Fresno put up a pretty good fight.
USC against Washington State. That's in Pullman. Mm-hmm. Or
no coach.
Well, Alabama at Florida.
I would probably say Alabama at Florida just because Florida's a good team. They got a good coach and they got talent. And, you know, and Saban supposedly hasn't been very happy down there with some of the complacency and people talking about how great they are. Now, is that in the swamp or is that at Bama's place?
It says it's at Florida.
So, yeah, I would say that simply because, I mean, that would be an upset. Don't get me wrong. Alabama losing to anyone would
be an
upset.
Those would be upsets.
Yes, but normally when it would be an upset, but it would not. I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. Like all those other teams, you would be like, oh my God, how did you lose? Right? Certainly Washington would be in that category.
Washington State beating USC wouldn't be a shock.
Yeah, I still think that'd be an upset. I mean, you're talking about a huge talent gap.
Well, yeah, they're all upsets. But Washington, actually, if you're looking at the point spread, Washington State-USC is the closest point spread.
Is it
the closest?
It's
like 8 or 9 points.
What's Bama favored by?
14.
Okay.
14 and a half.
I'm still saying that from a talent standpoint, I would still say Florida.
Okay.
That would be the one. If I had to pick one on upset alert, I would go with Bama and Florida. I mean, look, you're the number one team in the country, but Florida's number 11. You know, that's not like it's just this ungodly sort of thing. We just saw Oregon come in and knock off Ohio State, and that was what, 3 versus, was Oregon 12th, somewhere in that range? 3 versus 12. So, you know, I'll go with that.
Did Running and Shots have a show? It wasn't on The Fan if she did have one.
Running and Shots.
But I don't know that she did because The Fan's always just been the only station.
Running and Shots has done a lot of stuff.
For a lot of years.
She did a lot of stuff.
I don't know if she had her own show or not. A radio show.
Yeah.
She did a lot of TV stuff.
Did a lot of TV stuff. And I don't know, man. There's been so many shows that come and go. I'm not taking shots at anyone. But it's just.
Oh, I will.
I'm not. There's been a lot of 6 months to 1 year, you know, sort of ventures.
Fly by nights.
You know how many times?
Who's that guy, Dave? Who's that dude that got mad at us or hated us?
Oh, Dino something. Yeah. Other.
How about that guy?
Yeah, dude, that guy came in and he tried to start some sort of war.
Oh, Dino. I forgot he came
yeah,
in.
Yeah, you remember that guy?
Yeah,
Dino Costa, right?
He was here for like 4 months.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he was gonna bankrupt us and we were gonna be homeless and I just.
Hey, newsflash.
Yeah.
I am not bankrupt nor homeless.
Me neither. Still here.
Meanwhile, he was fired in 4 months.
He was wrong.
Yeah. But I've heard that so many times. So I don't know. There's been a lot of shows that have come and gone. But I will tell you that one of my favorite Portland personalities is Runnin' Ann Shots.
Oh, she's great.
She's a great lady.
She's a great lady.
Yes.
All right, guys. Gary Patterson wants TCU to stay good. So he says, pay my players.
Hell yeah.
And why people are mad online about a college football game.
It was refreshing that he actually said it.
Those items are coming up here. This is The Fan. It is 3:31. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Get as a bug on both of them, you know?
A lot of Dave Bartu today.
I did that one on purpose.
Oh, okay.
That was not a mouse hover misfire, which is a new thing here at The Fan. Keep you on your toes out there.
Well, it's an old thing that's come back again because yeah. That used to be happening as well.
All right, so we're partying here. Joey Harrington's going to join us today.
Yes.
Did you know that? He's a former Oregon quarterback.
I did because it's Football Fridays.
You know him at all? He's a former Oregon quarterback, played in the NFL. And he joins us every Friday here at 5:30.
An all-around nice guy.
And we will eulogize Ohio State. We'll put him in the grave. Because I seem to remember him saying, without Kayvon Thibodeau, Ducks are hooped.
Yeah. Well, look, and it wasn't just without Thibodeau. I mean, they were shorthanded across the board. I called Oregon, and I did win money. Thank you, Oregon. I thought.
You won your bet.
I won my bet.
Should have taken him on the money line, idiot.
Yeah, no. I didn't think Oregon was going to win. 2 months ago when I placed the bet. But
did anyone predict Oregon winning?
I'm sure there were Oregon fans that predicted it, and I think one of the college football guys before the season said that was going to happen. One of the ESPN kickoff crew guys. But after the way Oregon played against Fresno State and the fact that they were shorthanded, seriously shorthanded, it's one of the more surprising outcomes that we've been doing this for 17 years. It's one of the more surprising outcomes. And it wasn't just the fact that they won. It was just how it happened. I don't know if I've just seen a bigger jump.
It was amazing.
From week one to week two against an opponent like Ohio State. Well, those things happen in sports, but that one, if you would have told me how that would have went, I would have not believed you.
Right. Because we hadn't seen it yet out of Oregon.
No.
So, and the conventional wisdom was Oregon doesn't have the horses depth-wise to keep up.
And they did.
With Ohio State, at Ohio State. And that was the moment. I think that's why that game's significant. And we'll talk to Joey about this later, but I think that's the moment we will now change our expectations about Oregon's chances in games like that.
Yeah.
Because they just have the depth now. The depth is good enough now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just having guys that can play. It's having good guys that can play that are behind your studs, right?
Yes.
That's what it is. So traditionally, we had looked at Oregon with some studs, mm-hmm. The Mariotas or the, stud pass rusher, whoever. They've always had studs. Mm-hmm. But when they get into those games against Ohio State or
the depth is just too
Auburn
much.
Or whatever, those teams are at a different level. I remember watching, you and I were talking about this. We were at that first Rose Bowl, the
Ohio State one.
Yeah, and the
Terrell Pryor
one. And boy, we saw Ohio State come out of the tunnel. We were standing right there down the field, and we were like, oh, boy, this is different. And that's changed.
Yeah.
I think that the Oregon-Ohio State game, depending on, who knows what it leads to. You never know.
Yeah, you got to finish the thing off.
Well, I just mean long term. Like Cristobal could leave, coordinators could leave, injury. Yeah, he's never. No one's predicting anything. I'm just saying that game, sort of, at least for me, will recalibrate how I view Oregon's chances against the big boys of college football because of what they did.
Sure,
that depth is there. They're recruiting to a level where they can hang even without their 5-star studs.
Yeah, I mean, no Flo, no Thibodeau, no Mathis,
and just couldn't say that before.
No, and I really thought that. The babies on the team, the young guys, I thought that's where the upper echelon talent was. And, a lot of the elder statesmen, again, going back to the offensive linemen and the backs, I thought, CJ and Dye, I think those are good, solid backs, but I've never watched them and been like, man, that's like watching LaMichael or watching LeGarrette Blount or watching Royce Freeman. And I mean, Jonathan Stewart, Oregon's just had this great stable of backs. And C.J. Verdell was an absolute beast, and I don't know if there's a real high offensive lineman NFL guy. There'll be some guys that I'm sure will get a crack at. I think Forsythe's really good, and I think he's going to get drafted, but he's not a first-round guy, probably not a second-round guy. But for them to come out and play that way, that goes back to, again, to my surprise, is it wasn't just the young guys. There were some dudes that I thought were good, not great, and they played great, and they beat those guys. They beat the 5-star guys to the punch against Ohio State.
You know what it was like? It was like the Tampa Bay Rays lineup.
Yes.
It's like there's no one that you look at and go, oh, my God.
Yeah, huh?
We're really scared of this guy. There's no Vlad Guerrero in there.
No.
But, my God, 1 through 9, are they strong?
Yes.
And that's what Oregon showed against Ohio State.
And then you randomly get a guy like last year in the playoffs, and you're like, who's this?
A Rosarena.
And he just starts mashing. And you're like, what? Where did this come from? And
good scheme, good coaches. Yeah. It's just it all works.
Yeah. But you're right in that, going forward, there are so many components to this. Again, when you're a CEO type head coach, the biggest thing that you have to do besides building the culture and recruiting, I mean, those are obviously the two biggest factors, but you have to hire good coordinators, and it's really hard. I think when you look at what Saban does, it's amazing the amount of turnover he has in his staff, and it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
Most places, though, that's what undoes a program.
Yeah, so you think Moorhead and, like, DeRuiter
are unbelievable recruiters. It's probably the best combination of coaches as far as coordinator goes. This side, well, certainly this side of the Mississippi, and you can make an argument that it's probably a top four or five combo in all of college football, but they won't stay. Right. If Oregon finishes this thing off and they end up being a playoff team and their offense looks the way it did against Ohio State, Moorhead's a head coach next year.
Oregon's going to be the new Alabama when it comes to rotating coordinators.
And you have to make those good hires. And we've seen this when Mack Brown kind of rebuilt Texas, right? When Texas was actually back, go look at the guys that were on that staff. There's a bunch of head coaches, like the Will Muschamps of the world. And I think Gene Chizik might have been on that staff too. That staff was loaded. And then as they won, what happened? Well, they all left. They all left for greener pastures and head coaching jobs. And what happened to Texas after that? They were never able to recover. The same thing happened to Auburn when they won their national title, right? And the Gus Malzahn's, your offensive coordinators leave. And a year or two later, Gene Chizik is gone. LSU is going to go through this. LSU revamped their staff. They went and got Joe Brady, and Joe Brady turns that offense into the best thing we've seen. And then Brady leaves for the NFL after 1 year, and what the hell is LSU since? So it is such a big deal to be able to hire coordinators, and Cristobal has done an amazing job. He has upgraded at every single turn, and that is going to be something he's going to have to continue to do, because as this thing grows and gets better, and it's seemingly it's going to keep going, you're going to lose guys to head coaching jobs, and you have to continue to make those hires. But the thing that I think gives you, if you're an Oregon fan, it gives you hope, is this is not some sort of meteoric rise. This has really now been a 20 plus year, just steady climb. You can go back a little further if you want. You can go back into Rich Brooks, but from that first Rose Bowl against Penn State and Danny O'Neill, and then transitioning that into Mike Bellotti and, you know, Bellotti then to Chip. And it's just, it's been a climb. And I don't understand the idea from some people that are like, well, Oregon could never. Why? What is going to come along that just seemingly Oregon can't overcome? They are building something and have been building something for years and years. Now, the meteoric rises, those are the ones where you see it and you're like, well, okay, that's not going to last. Like Ole Miss jumping up, or, you know, Georgia Tech back in the day, or Colorado. You look at that and be like, well, I don't know how sustainable that is. Oregon has proven for three decades now that what they're doing is sustainable, and they keep adding pieces to it. And,
well, what was it, Phil Knight that said, hey, what do we got to do to compete, way back when?
And that was the changer.
And right? They've committed.
They have.
And so it's not all just Phil Knight. That certainly helps a ton.
Yep.
But what they've done is pretty unique in college football.
And Nemec was talking about this yesterday on his recruiting show. Two things that I thought were really good points. Look, when you sit down now as a recruit with Oregon and you're deciding between Oregon and USC, Cristobal can literally say without any sort of hyperbole, you know who USC thought was the best coach for you? Me. And I turned him down. Oregon's better. And you look at the programs on the West Coast that you're recruiting against, Washington right now in a bit of a spin.
Wait, did he turn him down?
Well,
I'm not interested.
Yeah, he said he's not interested, yeah. Right? But everyone knows that USC would be interested in Cristobal. He's no, I'm staying put. It's a huge advantage. And then you look at the other programs on the West Coast that you're competing against. USC right now is a ship without a rudder. And by the way, for the recruits that are 18, 19 years old right now, they grew up with Oregon being a national power and playing in national championship games and beating Ohio State.
Yep.
They weren't born the last time USC was really relevant. And Washington right now with Jimmy Lake appears to be in a bit of a tailspin. Arizona State's got their own mess, and it's not like Arizona State has ever really risen up. Look, Oregon is really in a good position here to really grab a stranglehold on the Pac-12, kind of the way USC did back under Pete Carroll. The question is, can they finish it the way that USC did? Because USC just didn't win the Pac-12. USC beat the brakes off of other teams. Remember Auburn and Oklahoma, and then they won national titles. That's yet to be seen if Oregon can do that.
I have a question that popped up while you were talking there about what Ohio State, that win meant for recruiting.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that next. And then preview the big Stony Brook game. You guys ready for Stony Brook?
Hot Seawolf talk.
Has there ever been, ever in the history of football, a game, a back-to-back stretch that went from such a good opponent to such a bad opponent? This, I put this up with anyone.
It's a bit of a letdown.
It's unbelievable.
Just a scooch.
All right. Well,
who does Ohio State play this week?
What do you mean?
Well, they played a really good opponent. Do they also have a cupcake?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just...
They got Tulsa.
Okay.
Okay, so top five team. You played on the road at a top five team, a perennial power in Ohio State.
Top three team.
Yeah, so the only game that could be tougher than that would be at Alabama, right?
Yeah, Alabama.
So it's the second toughest game you could play.
Yep.
What is the easiest game you could play? Because I'd give you Stony Brook.
I bet you one of those SEC teams, because they have that weird middle season cupcake,
played
like at Alabama and then played
Chattanooga or something, you know.
Yeah, but weird FCS team.
Yeah, but see, FCS is, this is where I think Stony Brook kind of is
Stony
even.
Stony Brook is FCS.
I know, but they're like bottom level FCS, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I know nothing about Stony Brook. I mean, literally
I'm going to go ahead and put them at the bottom.
Let's do it.
All right, it's 350 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
So we're doing some digging on Stony Brook here.
Yeah, and they're traditionally they're not as bad as you made them out to be, but they're not good.
So FCS has rankings, right?
Yes, but they have a playoff.
I know, but they have weekly rankings.
Yes.
They are not in the weekly rankings.
No.
So that's the first part. They're not a top 25 FCS team.
They have made the playoffs four times in their history.
Okay.
2011, 2012, 2017, 2018.
Okay, so that's not too bad. Don't a bunch of teams get into that, though?
Yes.
How many, like 32?
Yeah, it's
top
a
32? Well, that means they're kind of a top 25 FCS team.
Look, the last handful of years, 7-5, 10-3, 5-6, 5-5, 5-7, 5-6.
Okay, so they're not bottom of the barrel FCS.
But they're not good.
Then again, do we know who is bottom of the barrel FCS?
I don't know. I honestly do see this.
I know
that North Dakota State's good.
Yeah. You know who the number one team in FCS is right now?
North Dakota State.
South Dakota State is number two.
Oh. Montana.
Sam Houston.
Oh. You know what? That Sam Houston is, you see them because ESPN runs the FCS playoffs. And then as it gets further into like the semifinals and quarters and then the championship game, I'm not going to say I watch, but I pay attention. And Sam Houston playoffs is one of those teams that pops up.
I don't know how Montana's not number one, but they're number four.
Well, I think everyone just has such a lack of respect for Washington at this point.
Oh, Washington sucks so bad that Montana winning is a meh to FCS?
Apparently.
Wow.
Isn't Stephen F. Austin usually up there at the top, too?
Yeah, they're always good. They're on here. They're always good. James Madison's always really good, too.
James Madison beat, was it Virginia Tech?
Yes.
Yeah.
That they knocked off? I mean, look.
Oh, there's North Dakota State. They're fifth. It's the same schools every year.
Yeah. Well, there's no difference between the FCS and the FBS.
Wait,
it's,
FBS is the same schools every year?
Every year. And I will say that I think those teams have gotten better.
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
That talent gap.
100%.
I just, and look, not like, you know, we were any sort of juggernaut or anything, but most of the time we were a top 25 team when I was at BYU. And I remember twice we played. One was Murray State, and I'm trying to remember who the other one was. And they were both like top six or eight teams at that level. And I remember our coaches like, yeah, you can't overlook them, whatever. And dude, they were terrible. They were just awful. But that gap has gotten closer. And I still think it's insulting for Washington to lose to Montana.
Ooh.
And I get like some of the, you get like cast offs and you get, you know, guys that that, you know, wash out for whatever reason and end up at these programs. And skill position players, I think skill position players, certainly there's guys that can compete, but at the line of scrimmage, there just isn't enough big bodies. We talk about this in the world of the Power Fives. There's not enough big boys to go around even in those. So the idea that you have just a ton of quality linemen, that's where I just think it's inexcusable for a Washington to get beat at the point of attack by Montana. It's just you shouldn't. It should never happen.
Might I submit to the court that Stony Brook, the last time they played an FBS team, mm-hmm. they played Utah State in 2019.
The Aggies.
Last year, they were supposed to play Florida Atlantic, but COVID got them. Mm. So that final score was 62-7.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, and this was kind of that was my experience when we played, and we only played them twice, those sorts of teams was just,
yeah,
it was kind of cute, but I mean, go
cute.
Away. Well, it was.
I also have here.
We probably, you know, but like Florida.
It's like, oh, you guys are trying to play football?
Just.
Well, that was a good run. Nice job, guys.
Well, just, did you do that when you get up off the pile? And you're like, aw. You pat the little.
No,
well,
but
you're an offensive lineman. You pat the D end onto the head. Like, oh, cute little rush guy.
Dude, there is a little bit when you're up by like 40 and it's at the half.
That's pretty good zone coverage, my friend.
You do kind of feel bad. You're like, God, this run the ball, run the clock,
okay.
Get him out.
Here's the definitive answer, okay?
Yeah.
I've got a list of FCS football win-loss records all time. Mm-hmm. Stony Brook is 61st out of 127.
Right.
So they're kind of a middle. They're a middle of the road FCS team. Their all-time record is 192 and 183. There are 51 FCS programs that have not won 50% of their games. Okay.
Okay.
Among those, and I'm just going to go to the bottom 20. These guys have won 43% or worse of their games. So if you were ever wondering. In your hot sports brains, who are the worst FCS programs? Well, here they are. Idaho.
Who the Beavs have on Sunday.
Yeah,
Saturday.
They're worse than, traditionally, they're worse than Stony Brook. Sacramento State, I'm not going to read all these, just Davidson, Rhode Island, Austin Peay, and the worst is Houston Baptist, who is 15-55 all time.
By the way, didn't Idaho try to be FBS for a while?
Yeah.
Like, weren't they independent for a couple of years and then they went right back down?
I don't know if they were independent, but I do remember, I think, that they were trying to claw their way up. But that's Big Sky, right?
They are Big Sky.
Yeah, they're Big Sky.
Yeah.
By the way, I looked up North Dakota State because North Dakota State is they're the Alabama of the FCS.
Yeah.
They haven't, and this is obviously fairly recent when they've won like seemingly every national championship. They have a 9-3 record against the FBS.
Well, they always play Kansas.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of those things. Yeah, it's 9-3, but their wins are over Kansas, Minnesota, Colorado State, Kansas State, Iowa State, although they did beat a ranked Iowa team. 23-21. So
damn.
They do have a win over a ranked opponent in Iowa. And so, dude, I'm taking nothing away from North Dakota State. Clearly, that's a hell of a football team and has been for years. But make no mistake, if North Dakota State played Alabama or played Georgia or played, you know, any of those top teams, that would be an old-fashioned ass-kicking. But there are some schools, see North Dakota State, that have proven that against even some solid teams on a week-to-week basis, you know, you can give them a run for their money.
By the way, Idaho, a little more Vandals notes. Idaho was an FBS team from 2001 until 2017.
Whoa.
They were in the Sun Belt from 2001 to 2004. They were in the WAC from 2005 to 2012. They were independent for 1 year, and then they were in the Sun Belt from 14 to 17.
There you go. Go Vandals.
Hot Idaho news, guys. How about that?
Getting ready to play the Beavs, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm more likely to watch that than I will the Oregon's game.
Oh, come on. I'm not watching either of those games.
No, probably not.
I'm not watching either one either.
I'll record them in case something funky happens. And I do like to go back and just kind of, I'll record a game and I'll do the little 30-second fast forward. And I'll watch it. I do try to watch every Oregon and Oregon State game. But let's just say that the detailed eye will not necessarily be out for either one of these football games.
Yeah, Sacramento State beat Oregon State. Remember that?
I do.
Mike Riley.
Washington State lost a couple times Didn't Portland State get them?
Yeah, but Washington State lost to Eastern Washington, which they're a better one of the better.
They're one of the better
programs in FCS. See, that's what we're trying to define here.
Yes,
and yes, Portland State did get them once, and Portland State. And where are they on the list? I'll come up with that, and then because that one I would be curious to know. Anyway,
I would if I'm one of those schools, I wouldn't sign up to play an Eastern Washington or a North Dakota State.
Well, right. They're like the new Mountain West.
It doesn't do any
Don't play those guys.
No, it doesn't do any good, you know, because if you beat them and you beat them by a ton, who cares? You beat a, you know, an FCS team, and there's a good chance that if you're not on your game, one of those schools can jump up and bite you right in the ass because those are quality teams.
Yeah, Portland State for the longest time, I mean, they were pretty good. I mean, they were with – so they're 85th on here. No, they're not. Hold on, fella. They're 43rd, so they're under 50% all-time wins.
Yeah.
Portland State, 334 wins, 357 losses. But with Pokey and Tim Walsh, they were pretty good.
They had some success.
But they're still down by, like, Missouri State, Robert Morris, some of the Weber State, some of the worst.
Well, we've talked about it.
FCS
that athletic, and that's not their fault. That athletic program is...
Isn't it amazing they won so much back in the day?
Yeah, I wonder, like, the inner workings, because I do know the inner workings of that place right now. I mean, it's just a mess. It's not Barney Ball's
fault.
Well,
they don't care about...
They don't
care.
There's no commitment. Dude, their athletic director just left to run the Mac Club. Look, I feel bad. I told you, I knew someone that worked inside that program, and we were sitting down at a dinner once, and she was talking to me about it, and I just sat there and was like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Yeah.
Well, just how
it's rough over there.
It's rough.
And all right.
It's not their fault.
Why people are mad online about a college football game. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.